Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Let's BOGO. The Hoppin' Good sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, Bob. Time to talk a little hockey as the Penguins wind down. They got one game left against the Capitals, which is, you know, sort of striking the contrast. The Capitals have found a way to build around Ovechkin without really going the tear down to the studs thing. And the Penguins haven't found a way, a shortcut, with Sid here. Now, it helped the Capitals that Oshie and Backstrom went on long-term IR, right? It helped them. It freed up millions of dollars, but they've also made a number of wise decisions. They went with a younger, defensive-minded coach. They changed coaches. They signed a fairly big player in Pierre-Luc Dubois. They acquired some good young talent. And yes, they had some money to play with. They've done what the Penguins couldn't. Whether by, you know, part out of luck, whatever, they've done what the Penguins couldn't. And this has been a painful season for the Penguins. Here to talk about that. And the future, perhaps, is Jay Caulfield, Stanley Cup winner. He is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And Jay is brought to us by Tom's Watch Bar. Jay, how are you today?
Good, guys. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jay.
Good morning to you. We should start today, Jay, with the Chris Letang news. Had surgery for a hole in his heart, projected a 4 to 6 week recovery. And man, the things that this guy has been through and has overcome, as Bob said, this just makes you wonder, you know, now moving forward, will he want to play moving forward? I wonder about that, but man, nothing has stopped him yet. It's been, what an amazing career it's been, and what a series of obstacles this guy's had to overcome.
Yeah, I think when you talk about just the way you summed it up right there, Joe, is perfect, because yeah, what he's had to overcome and be the athlete that he is and the competitor that he is. I think any athlete that's listening to any guy that's played sports, whatever level you've been at, if you can find somebody that gives you the okay to continue to play, you're going to do it. That's just the way it works. It's just the way it is until you get completely shut down by somebody, right? That's more to the point about will he come back from it. He's going to be a player that continues to do that until, you know, it's all said and done as far as his career goes, I think. But again, you look, and I went through that with my neck injury in football. You look for somebody, right, wrong, indifferent. You look for somebody that's going to give you an okay to play. And again, that's just it, right, wrong, indifferent. But I'm sure they will not let him back on the ice. If there's any way that this will be, you know, so harming to him that he shouldn't do it. But if he has an okay and he's going to look for it, he'll be back playing, and certainly all the luck with that. But he has been through so much, more than most athletes that play the game, and what he does, he's been through a ton, and hopefully he's ready for next year.
So, Jay, I understand what you just said there, because I know a lot of athletes who have the same exact feeling, that they're just looking for someone to say it's okay. And I'm sure you went through that, as you said, with your neck injury. But if Alicia went to you and said, hey, I really don't want you to do it, if your wife had something to say, or your family or your kids had a concern, how do you navigate that with a doctor saying, well, you actually could do it if you want to? Because I know if it's up to him, he's going to play. But, I mean, he still has a life after hockey, and the heart is such a, you know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can go wrong in that situation.
No, Bob, and I agree with that. Even when you phrase it that way, when you're thinking he's looking at his kids and, you know, his wife and what other family members, whatever it might be, that certainly can help you make a decision, will help you make a decision one way or another. But it is amazing what you know, mine was in college days, right? So I'm not, you know, I don't have children. I'm not in that phase of my life, but it is wild how the feeling like you're just searching for something to give you that positive outlook. But I think that, to your point, how you mentioned it and how you came from that angle, that's one that will help you either shut it down and go on to your next phase, or you still try and find some way to play. It's all people know. That's their sport. That's what they've done as any athlete. Again, you can go across every sport. It's something when something's taken from you versus when you walk. Nobody has a chance to walk on their own unless you're Mario. Even Mario got bit by the injuries to the nth degree that took him out of the game. But the superstar player can walk out on their own. Most players have somebody telling them they're done, right? Most players. 99% are told, we don't want you anymore. You're too old. We're moving on from you. And the 1%, which is the elite, and they've earned that right to walk from the game when they want to, that's different. But you still will find something that keeps you in it, especially when you're an athlete that's in, like Chris Letang probably feels like, I'm in the best shape. I'm doing this. I can still play. I can still skate. He's physical. He's one of the most competitive on the roster. It'll be a difficult thing. Hopefully, when they say 4 to 6 week recovery, then you feel like a little bit, if you said months, then it takes you in a different time frame. I think that kind of recovery, I think you can still be that way. But I do think family, children, everything kind of will come into play differently for Chris Letang than it did years ago.
Jay, season coming to a close against the Capitals here. For you, what's kind of the theme, the story of this Penguin season? They missed the playoffs, I think, 3 straight years after 4 straight first-round exits. I think they were optimistic. I remember Sully at the end of last year saying, hey, this feels different than the year before, and I think this will, you know, translate into next season. It started with a 6-0 loss to the Rangers, and they never really gained traction. What's the story for you?
Yeah, I think, and it's not the – I'm going to go to one thing, Jody, you mentioned being the Washington Capitals. What did they get? They found their goaltender. They found a goaltender that's taken them into this phase or category of one of the elite teams. And then the players around them, look, when he's out, they faltered. You need a great goaltender. You need to feel comfortable with the goaltending situation going into next year. What happened to them this year was, and we went through the numbers. I went through the numbers the other night in 10 game segments, and the numbers against in that first 10 games, the Penguins did not recover from it, to your point. So I look, and it's not just, and by the way, when I do say the goaltending, I understand that there were a lot of deficiencies, you know, the odd man breaks, you know, giving things up on the power play and they go against you. All that, you know, certain times happen throughout the year. You just needed to save at certain times. And the Penguins throughout the year didn't get it. That's why. So to me, you got into a position that way. You're chasing games. That's why they're where they're at. Now, again, that's not putting all of it on it. It's in front of them. The play wasn't there. You saw Mike Sullivan upset the other night. But I still think it's one that is, for me, that just they never could right the ship as far as the goaltending situation was concerned. And right now that you're playing great coming down the stretch, yeah, that's great. But there's nothing now. it clouds the issue. What are you going to do? But you need a you need to find a goaltending tandem that you want that's going to take you to a land where Sidney Crosby playing elite hockey. You need to support that. And as to me, you need to find the right goaltending tandem, and whoever that is, that's on the coaching staff and what they see and what they feel and what they can put. We know they got young guys coming up, but American League and NHL still a huge difference. But they have the youth coming up as far as goaltenders are concerned, and I know everybody's waiting to see that. But Kyle Dubas. That's a big. There's a lot going on with that, and what are they going to do? But you need to solidify that position.
I think, if anything, though, their leverage situation got a little bit better with Tristan Jarry, given how he played since his return.
Yep.
So that does give them at least an opportunity to look around, and if they want to move from him, they probably can. But if they don't, would it be a mistake to believe what you see in the end of this season from him? And I only say that because in leverage situations, big high-stakes games, we have not seen Tristan Jarry elevate his game. Can you trust that to take place next year if they get to those kind of games?
Yeah, well, that is the big, Bob, even if he had a good year and they got in the playoffs, what would have been the first question out of everybody's mouth before the first series started?
Yep.
We haven't seen him win in the playoffs. We haven't seen a win in the playoffs. We haven't seen that kind of thing in the playoffs. So he has to overcome that too. For me, certainly the way he's playing, he's been an all-star goaltender. His numbers, what he can do and how when he's on top of his game, he's one of the better goaltenders in the league. But when it went sideways, and it went sideways multiple times here, I'm not sure whether it's better for, does everybody need a fresh start? Tristan Jarry, does he need a fresh start somewhere else? And I agree with you. I think the stock can rise back up again with just stellar play throughout this evening even. So, but I don't know if it's better. Sometimes you just need to, everybody needs to kind of regroup and start fresh. And that might be best for Tristan Jarry, and it might be best for the Penguins. But, hey, that's where the Kyle Dubas decisions on this are going to be huge going forward. And if they give it to Tristan Jarry, he's certainly coming up. I will say this, going through a rough patch as an athlete and to recover from it is the biggest thing what he's just done. And I hope he can continue it. If he's the guy here, I hope he can continue it. I made the point about fresh start. That might be good for him, and it could be good for the Penguins. You want to come back with the same tandem that you had terrible, not good runs on? I don't know about that. That's. I'm not sure about that, Bob. I'm not sure what it depends
on. It's a tough decision.
That would be tough. What was that, Bob?
No, I said it's a tough decision. They have to figure that out, and that's going to be one of the most watched decisions they got in this offseason. Who forms their nucleus?
And even for the fan base, again, thinking, what are you coming back to? But I'm telling you, if he is the guy and he comes back and plays great hockey, then there's your answer, and he's at a bargain. He's at a great number for what the top goaltender or starting goaltenders get. I just don't know what it's going to be, because these games, outside of what I mentioned about the mental toughness of an athlete to come back and perform the way he is right now, that is a major hurdle, and he deserves all the credit for that, because that would have been a grind. He knew he was being written off, and everything went sideways up here with Blomqvist. It wasn't going well. Finds his way back. And I think you got to tip your cap to him as an athlete and what he's done. And whatever way they go, if he's the guy here, I certainly hope he stays and keeps on a great run. If he's not, he's going to find himself somewhere else and try and, just a fresh space, fresh spot as an athlete. Sometimes that's good for all involved.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line on which you can communicate with Wonder Twin, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Jay, I'm torn. I'm torn on this whole in the big picture here as to where Fenway Sports Group and Kyle Dubas are going and what's the best way to go. It feels to me like he and they are trying to find a shortcut, are trying to minimize the pain on their way back to, I would call it, total recovery. And sometimes when you're recovering, you got to hit bottom and you got to do it for a while. Now, they got close this year, but I don't think it was intentional. I think they accidentally got there this year. I wanted them to do a total rebuild. It's apparent they're not going to do it. Where do you stand on that?
I even when we've talked about the year about it, I think when Sidney Crosby signed here, you need to find a run with him. You need to find something with him playing the way he is. That's where I said, and Joe, I don't disagree with even what you said, but I'm saying once Sidney Crosby's here and his mindset, they're trying to try. They've got, you know, a couple more years. He signs a new deal. You got to make it work. You got to find the pieces, and a lot's going to free up this summer. That's why all the talk, what we've had, things got to free up, and you have to make the moves. Like the Capitals, you mentioned the Capitals made great moves. Dubois, who hasn't, he all of a sudden plays well in Washington, didn't perform well anywhere else. Now he's in Washington. They need to find a couple pieces that are going to fit to help Sidney Crosby make a run at it. Because when you don't have him, now you're in a complete, the year that, whenever that takes place, how many years down the road, you got to win with that. It's like having Ben Roethlisberger with not a good offensive line, or Ben Roethlisberger without a great running back, Ben Roethlisberger without out wide receivers. You can't have a superstar and not have the pieces to go with it. You're wasting, it's wasting the years of that player. I think they're trying to build around, and if you're made the decision, this is where we're going to go and try and win with Sidney Crosby again, you need to make a, you need to go after it, and you have to be really good. The keys that you guys both said, the decisions you make on the personnel you bring in, you can't miss. You can't swing and miss on a free agent. He's got to be exactly what this team needs, and that's, I'm sure they're diving deep into that to make sure they can make those right moves and who's going to be available. And that's why that leads us on that back to the goaltending side again. What do you want to come in? Do you want to come in here fresh and new, or do you want to come back with the same tandem? That's where that question comes in again. Which way do you want to go? But I do think, Joe, they made that decision. They're going with it. They're going to try and they want to try and win with Crosby still in this at the elite level, but you cannot swing and miss on a free agent.
Okay. Okay. Then we need to agree that they were trying to win this year, because I think they were. I don't think you go into a season with a $27 million goaltender with Crosby, Malkin, Raquel, Rust, Letang, Carlson, Pedersen before they got rid of him, and another $27 million guy in Ryan Graves. I think that's where people seem to get confused. They think this was a rebuild. No, I think they are trying to win with Crosby. They just didn't do it this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that totally. I agree with how you just phrased that. I don't think they got out of players what they were hoping to get. You know, like you said, the free agent choices, you know, some guys have their immediate spot. Like Kevin Hayes they know what he can bring and what he can do and what he'll do. I'm just using him as an example. And you can get 15 goals and stuff like that in the bottom six of your lineup. But look at the guys that have come in and have already moved on. You know, so yeah, I think they went in to try and win this year. And look, even guys, we talked all year long about it. Even with how their season went, that everybody else in front of them was not that good either. And they could have, if they just had some, you know, consistency through 10, 20 games, but they couldn't do it. And so I'm agreeing with you, Joe. I agree with that. I don't think they were trying to, you know, go through a rebuild. They were trying to find the pieces and see what Sidney Crosby's doing at his age and how he's playing the game. You got to work with that, because the day that that's not here, now you're really looking. I mean, we don't know how many years that's down the line, but you need to jump on it now. And I agree with what you said, Joe. I do. I think they were trying to do it. It went sideways.
Well, they have to be encouraged with guys like Koivunen and Rutger McGroarty, I would think, right? If you're going to try to change things, it's got to be, at least in part, with your minor league system providing you opportunities. And more so than even McGroarty, I thought Koivunen looked really, really good, especially playing on the power play with big-time names. They need more of that, don't they? And is there anyone down there besides those two who could come right up and do something?
You know what? First of all, I totally agree with that point too, Bob. I mean, I thought that gave them life, and Deshane McGroarty went out so he can get a couple more games of experience and then go down to Wilkes-Barre and try and win a championship there. I think they have better depth, and I might be wrong in this, but their depth on the blue line. There's a lot of young guys on the blue line that they like down there, so they can piece all that together and really start to build something solid as far as that's concerned. Yep, Koivunen and McGroarty, I think, were very, very good, and I thought Koivunen took advantage of the opportunity and showing his poised with the puck and is playing with top elite talent. And he was very comfortable out there. So I think that's very big for the organization. And then you look, keeping Raquel, all the things that go with that. You already have your top lines built if everybody comes back healthy. And then you fill everything else out. So to me, the depth on the forwards, I don't know. After these guys, I think it's more of a process still for the younger guys down there. But the blue line seemed to be something that they are very comfortable with what they see in the minors. So, and then we know the goaltending part. We understand that. But I said, that's still a patient thing. Like, you can't rush up somebody because, as I said before, you go from each level, it's a whole nother step. And but this kid and the Russian goaltender seems like the real deal, and they might have something in that. So, and let's hope so. But I do think the young guys that came up provided a spark. And I also have made the points numerous times, even on the shows at nighttime during the game, that every night you're playing, it's you're auditioning. Everybody. Because look at the moves they still make. Guys, if you didn't do anything in the last five games, you're on your way out. And you're now not in the good books coming into camp next year. You have an opportunity. You got to go play and make something happen. And if you don't, you're not going to be in their plan. And they're showing that's how they're not having any patience anymore. There's no patience. They're unhappy with where it's at.
Jay, great stuff today. I hope we can talk next week and preview the playoffs and give out our season-ending awards. And I and Bob.
I like that.
I would love to, guys. I look forward to talking to you next week for sure.
See you, Jay.
All right, Jay. Take care.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I love you. I love you.
They call them trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
it.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same thing.
Shall I call you Ron, Dr. Dick? What should we go with
you
here?
You can call me Ron.
You know what this means, Bob? It's time for you and I to pack our bags and board the Limitless Express. You excited?
Yes, it's always a fun ride, and I wonder how many miles per hour we will get to today.
Maybe it's a bullet train. Limits, we're ready. Please take us.
Hop on board, my friends, as the Steelers adding Darius Alexander of Toledo to their top 30 list is the final. He's the 30th out of 30 official visitors to the Steelers, making 9 defensive tackles and 10 total defensive linemen that have visited the Steelers facility in this top 30 pre-draft visits that officially concluded today. To me, and they also brought in 9 running backs, it means that running back and defensive line, Bob, are going to be taken pretty high. Yeah.
They're pretty transparent about bringing in guys and then seeing last year, I think it was 6 of them who were as part of the 30 visits were Steelers. And, you know, why not if you're really, you know, digging deep? But they have a lot of quarterbacks on that list too. But 9 running backs almost ensures that they will take a running back. I just hope it's not in the first round.
Now, one thing notable, they did not bring in Ashton Jeanty as one of those 9 running backs.
That is interesting. I don't know if they've met with him in other forms and fashions. But, yeah, man, defensive line is where it's at other than quarterback for me. Although, I'm open to running back. I'm definitely open to that. I am. I just think that games are won. I think the most important position, quarterback 1, and then I think up front. And I would start with defensive line. That is where you wreck games, and I've seen a lot of Super Bowls, including the one we just witnessed, one like that. You have a magician in Patrick Mahomes, a guy who beats you with his brain. He can beat you with his legs, beat you with his arm, beat you with everything, beats a pass rush all the time, as well as any quarterback I've ever seen. And they destroyed Kansas City's front to the point where even he had 0 answers, Bob. And the Steelers have left themselves woefully short, mostly through bad drafting on the defensive line.
Yeah, and that's, to me, the pressing need right now. You can't expect Cam Hayward to do this for how many more years? You know, he's playing at an elite level in his 30s, but sooner or later, that, you know, father time wins out. So you have to make choices to try to bring in guys, and the ones they brought in have not panned out the way they wanted to. So you have to redraft positions. And this is my concern if I'm them with quarterbacks, too, redrafting the position if you get it wrong. Because once you do that and you do it again, you it's such an important position. You got to, you know, highlight it and make sure you get the people there that you need. Not an easy task, which makes me wonder if somebody's available at 21 and they have plans to take a defensive lineman or, you know, whatever, and then a quarterback who they're not 100% on, they like, but they're not totally committed to, what should they do?
Twin at all costs. What's next?
So 4 quarterbacks were brought in by the Steelers: Tyler Shuck, Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders, Kyle McCord. If I gave you a list of those 4 guys, who do you think would be the most likely to be picked by the Steelers if we're taking the equation of where they would be selected off the board?
Joe doesn't need to answer this. He's answered it before.
Well, that's the guy I want. I'm not sure that's the most likely they would pick. I think, and we're going to talk about this top of the hour, Bob, Jerry Dulac has weighed in on the idea of Shedeur Sanders. Dane Brugler has put out a mock draft where he has the Steelers taking Shedeur Sanders if he drops. If he drops, all bets are off. That's my pick. As of those 4 that you mentioned, the one that the Steelers would most likely pick,
I think it's going to be Shuck, only because I don't think they're going to be in a position to get any of those other guys, and he will be taken somewhere later in the draft. But I think they like him a lot. He's older, but they like him a lot.
Final thing on the official 30 visits. Any surprise that Emeka Ebuka is not included in one? Because we know how much that Mike Tomlin likes him. He was not one of these 4 wide receivers that were taken. Most notable, Matthew Golden, to visit the facility from Texas.
Unless they're trying to throw people off there, too. You know, there's a part of gamesmanship that goes on with these visits, too. You can bring in guys you may not really be interested in, but to make people think that, oh, you are interested, therefore this guy, you're not interested in him. Yeah, you are, but you just don't want to give it away that you're that interested. I don't know how much of that goes into this stuff. But, I mean, I look at the Willis situation at quarterback. Everyone thought one way, and they went the total opposite way. So were they doing that by design to show them no interest whatsoever in Malik Willis at the time? You know, if that's the case, then there's going to be some of this going on in this year's visits as well.
Next.
All right. The Bucko Bricks has another announcement that has just been put out here. So the Pirates and Travis Williams. Williams has put out an open letter to the fans saying that the Pirates are offering commemorative replica bricks for everyone that officially had one at the ballpark, and also mentioning that they've been replaced three times. And he said, I know how meaningful the messages and the tributes are. We respect that and we appreciate that. We are and always have been absolutely committed to ensuring these special messages and tributes live on permanently at PNC Park. Williams further apologized as well. So they're going to, in addition to still having a permanent display outside of PNC Park that they think will be better than what they originally did before, replacing the bricks three different times just because, you know, amount of people that walk on them, they need replaced and they get damaged and broken. They're going to offer people who go to pirates.com/buckobricks and complete the form a replica brick that they could have for the original donors of the Bucko Bricks.
Good. I mean, you know, both Bob Nutting and Travis Williams have stepped up here and said the right things, and now they're going to do the right thing. And that's a big deal to a lot of people. That's part one. Part two, could somebody, namely the owner, show this kind of regret, passion, and determination to fix the problem with his actual baseball team? Bob?
I agree. I mean, you know, that's the one reaction that I think people want to see from ownership over there. Is this sort of passion on what's gone on wrong with this team and how are you going to fix it? Because that's what people are buying more than anything else. I'm glad to see they're going to do this. Replicas are not the same as the originals, but I understand in time that stuff gets worn down and whatever. So at least they're taking that step in the right direction.
Next, the transfer portal in college football has officially opened, and there have already been a slew of transfers that have departed from West Virginia. Nico, I'm a leaving Tennessee because I can't pronounce his last name, has entered the portal officially with a do not contact tag, which basically suggests that he knows where he's going. And it just further illustrates for me, Bob, he enters the portal, he knows where he's going. This feels like NFL legal tampering, even maybe to an extreme.
Yeah.
So the point the college football should just adopt some NFL tendencies.
Listen, the kid can do whatever he wants because they've made it possible to do whatever you want. This system is broken. There was never a system to begin with. They need a governing body, as I said the other day to you, Joe, and Austin. If you don't have a governing body figuring out what's going on here, you're going to have ridiculous things go on. This kid's just doing what's available to him. Do I agree with what he's doing? No, I would have stayed at Tennessee. I think they have a good nucleus there. I don't know if he's going to get more than $2.4 million. He may find a landing spot, but is he guaranteed that it's going to double what he's making now? Because I looked at his numbers last year, and I didn't think much of them. He was just average, especially in big games. He was below average.
Yeah, I don't know what his immediate future holds. He may find out that teams don't want to pay him that. But I'm getting this idea as I read and hear more about this and watch that Tennessee and Josh Heupel getting a little bit too much credit for this situation, even to the point where I saw one headline yesterday. Tennessee, you know, paves the way here for other coaches, shows the way for other coaches to put a foot down in other programs. If anybody, including Tennessee, thought this kid was worth $4 million, they'd pay it in a second, and somebody else will be. Nobody's bigger than the team, Heupel said. Yeah, until you get your next guy that you think's worth $4 million, then he is bigger than the team. And the quarterback actually is, at least financially, bigger than the team at every level. Thank you, Limits.
Thank you very much. Shedeur Sanders, in a report from Pro Football Talk, told NFL teams that his experience handling pressure and high expectations is what gives him the edge over any other player in the draft. And what I wonder about this, though, Joe, is Shedeur Sanders went 13-12 overall in college. What what pressure is he really talking about other than taking over a Colorado team that was very bad when they got there? And he also did have Travis Hunter that helped him out a little bit too, yeah. Right?
And I don't understand the need to retire their jerseys. 13 wins, 12 losses?
Well, Hunter, I would. He won the Heisman.
Okay, that. But Shedeur Sanders?
I guess agree, I agree with you there.
You're Deion Sun, you'll get what you want, but 13-12 record.
So what's your question, Limits? Is what they mean by pressure, like he thrives under pressure?
Yeah, what do you make of just his assessment of what has him over the edge of any other player in the draft is handling pressure and high expectations. So what about like Will Howard or any of the guys on Ohio State that, I don't know, won the national championship?
You make a good point there. I suppose there's inherent pressure being Deion's son, for one thing, going to a program that was rotten and at least lifting it, you know, to slightly above average. But your point stands, really. I mean, the pressure he faced was no different and in some ways less than the pressure other guys faced when they played in the really big games in college football that he really didn't.
And he's not playing against, like, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama,
no.
Tennessee every week. You know, he's playing in the Big 12, which is fine, but it's not Big Ten or SEC football.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that assessment. We'll see what the draft people say when he's available to be drafted. If he drops, as a lot of people suspect, again, I have questions about that. And I don't know. I think the smart play for the Steelers is not to mess with quarterbacks in the first round anyway. If you want to do it later because you need another guy in that room and you see potential development possibilities with that person, fine. But this, and of course, it all ties in too with Rodgers. Are we making a bet when he's going to make his announcement, if at all?
I would bet before the draft. I mean,
so it's at Green Bay. Do you think he wants to do it? Could stick at the Green Bay a little bit. It's in Lambeau Field.
Maybe.
How about if he shows
up?
I
hadn't thought of that, Bob.
Shows up at the podium
to announce the Steelers' first round pick as Jackson Dart.
As a
wide receiver,
I'm Aaron Rodgers. You know me. I did a lot of stuff here. Hope you remember all that. But now I'm signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm here to tell you their number one pick. In the 2025 draft.
Is what they never got me in Green Bay, a first-round receiver.
What if they do this? The McAfee Show, I think, is broadcasting from the draft in Green Bay.
Please. Can we stop with that?
Yeah, I mean,
what if he goes there in Green Bay and stands on the podium and McAfee's like, Aaron has a message for you. He's standing at the podium. Aaron?
Nothing would surprise me.
I hope they don't let it take over like that.
One more Limits. That's all we can handle.
Next, can Travis Hunter play both ways? Offense, defense, corner, wide receiver on a full-time basis. John Harbaugh says that he doubts there's enough time for anyone to prepare to play on both offense and defense. He doesn't think there's enough hours in the day, Bob, for Travis Hunter to pull it off.
And Travis Hunter's gone on record as saying, if the team that drafts me doesn't allow me to play both, then I'm going to quit.
That's
I
wild.
I actually like that.
You got leverage, though.
First, that's going a bit far, I will grant you. But any team that doesn't utilize him to that degree is out of their minds. What is John Harbaugh talking about? He couldn't be in every down corner, which I think most people agree that's probably his best position, and then couldn't come in for 10 snaps a game offensively where you say, run straight down the field and look up in the air and there might be a football there, catch it. Well, he makes a lot of these guys, Bob, at every level, going all the way down to high school when I covered high school football around here, want to make it sound like coaching football is nuclear physics. Sometimes it's not that complicated.
No,
really.
It isn't.
Really.
If Travis, you can play the position.
Yeah, split out left and then run straight ahead fast.
I think coaches like to make you think that.
Yeah,
you know?
They do.
But yeah, he's done it at a very high level, I thought, and his coverage skills are terrific.
Yeah.
So
Bill Belichick had guys that did that.
Now, if it proves that he can't handle it, then he better understand that you're not going to play it very well. He goes out there and gets burned left and right and
sure,
whatever.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You just say, be a wide receiver. Don't worry about that.
I mean, Who else has done it? Why am I not thinking of anybody? Did Dion do
Woodson,
a little bit of that?
Woodson
Dion
did,
Rod didn't? Woodson? Yeah.
No, the other Woodson. Didn't
Charles Woodson?
Yeah, didn't
Charles
he?
Woodson.
Charles Woodson.
Just
did
a
both.
Little bit. Vrabel did a little bit of
Vrabel
both.
Did, yeah, he well. A little.
Yeah, basically just in
he
the red zone as a red
when
zone
he needed, yeah.
I mean, it's not that complicated. Perry. I'm sorry. It really isn't. Here, go run 10 yards down, then cut to your right. Like, he's never run a pass pattern. And if the ball comes, catch it. And try to have the guy who's trying to tackle you not tackle you. And then do it 8 more times.
It's Harbaugh forgetting about the amount of commercial breaks that that happened during the game, too. Like, if Travis Hunter needs a rest, he could just rest during the commercial break.
Troy you know, Brown I mean, did this. Troy Brown did it for Belichick. He was a corner, and he played a little bit of receiver. He led the team 1 year with 3 interceptions, and he also had 17 catches and a touchdown.
Well, let me tell you this,
so
though.
So tell John Harbaugh to put that in his pipe and smoke
if
it.
If one position plays on his mind to the point where it hurts the other position, if I'm a head coach and I'm telling him, no, this is not working. You're still getting opportunities, but because you're on the field defensively, you're hurting us offensively. We want your skill as a wide receiver, and that's final. You either take it or not. You want to quit, quit. But if he shows that he can't handle both in the NFL.
Well, here's another thing, Bob. We talked about this yesterday. Paul Skeens should be hitting for the Pirates. They should have groomed him as an Ohtani-like player where he could hit and pitch. And if you think he'd do any worse...
This is where I wish they had the old National League rules in. Because if you did, he would have to hit. And you know, as much as I like DH, but that would be good if it still existed because then he gives you a huge advantage. He would be like... Who's the guy from the San Francisco lefty?
Madison
Bumgarner. Yeah. He was a terrific advantage as a hitter.
And Skeens others. Would be better than that. Jay Johnson, his coach at LSU, his manager, has put 61 players in the Major League draft. And he told me that if Skeens had played a position at LSU, he would have hit 20 to 25 homers and been a first-team All-American. His coach at Air Force, where he did hit, said that he would have been drafted in the first round as a catcher. And back to the guy, Jay Johnson at LSU, Bob, he told me that if it were the old National League rules, like you just said, Skeens would be the best hitting pitcher in all of baseball and wouldn't be batting ninth in anybody's lineup. Again, well, it's not that complicated. They've reserved a roster spot for a guy who doesn't play a position in Andrew McCutchen. Now, I know he's played a little bit of the field, but basically doesn't play a position. So they went out of their way to make that sort of, concession there. Why couldn't they brought in Skeens and say, you can hit a couple times a week? I think he can do it, Bob. He seems to have the body type, the athletic ability, the will, and the talent to also be a hitter. But more to the point, this whole lineup stinks. He'd be better than half the guys in this lineup, and that's not a joke. Let me give you some examples, Bob. If he hit one home run in his next 63 at-bats, he will have outdone Edward Olivares from his last 63 at-bats last year. If he hits one home run in 2.5 months and hits 200, he will have outdone Rowdy Tellez from last year. If he has 4 RBIs over the next 2 months, he would have outdone Connor Joe in his last 2 months
here. How about today's?
If he hits 100, he'd outdo Henry Davis. If he hits 140, he'd outdo Jack Sawinski.
How about Tommy Pham?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you can make the current day guys, too, available to you.
So let me ask you an honest question, because I'm not joking about any of this. If I gave Paul Skeens every at-bat that Tommy Pham, Jack Sawinski, Henry Davis, Adam Frozen, the Exxon Valdez, if he had all their at-bats, would he have better numbers right now? I say yes.
Probably. You know, I don't know. I'd have to see where his mind is. Do you think he wants to do that? Do
you think if you
went
have
to
asked,
him and said, would you consider batting?
From what we know of Paul Skeens, I would say emphatically yes.
Okay. Well, if he would want to do it, you know, given some of the situation they have right now, yeah, why not? I wouldn't be against that at all.
It's only for these.
It's not to say he's going to play position every day. That's
no,
not
no
what
position.
We're
no, he's going to DH a couple times DH, a week. Or, yeah, and if he's good at it, a lot.
Right.
Well, like, this is only reserved for the alphas of the world, the greatest athletes, Ohtani, Deion Sanders, Travis Hunter, people like that. I put Paul Skeens in that category.
Yeah, if you wanted to do it, I wouldn't have any problem with it.
Limits, what do you think? You gave him a month and a half to ramp up as a hitter?
He'd probably hit 10 home runs or so. He would probably be one of their better hitters, yeah. I think the Pirates would be very fearful of an injury with him, even just playing a couple of days to make sure they don't screw up his arm or make sure that he isn't fatigued.
At some point, don't you have to not live in your fears? I mean, how do you explain Ohtani then?
He's just otherworldly. I can't explain Ohtani. That's the thing. I don't know how to explain it. We haven't seen anything like it since Babe Ruth.
Well, no. How do you explain his teams, the Angels and the Dodgers, want to do it? The Angels did do it, saying, yeah, of course, you're a really good pitcher and a really good hitter. We're going to let you do both.
Yeah, I mean, he also has had Tommy John twice. So I wonder.
What are you saying?
What I'm saying is, I wonder if the Pirates allowed Skeens.
Well, what does Tommy John have to do with him hitting?
What I'm saying is, I feel like if they would allow Skeens to do both, they would be too concerned with wear and tear on the body and potential breakdown of the arm for that.
Oh, come on, Limits. He can hit 10 times a week.
It's not what I would do. I would let him do it, but I feel like that's what there is.
But you're linking Ohtani's Tommy John somehow to him being a two-way player, and I'm not buying it.
How many two-way players have we seen?
Well, what does that have to do with Tommy John surgery?
I think if you're a pitcher, Bob, most likely you're going to get Tommy John at some point or something similar to it.
And you throw that hard, yes. But I do wonder if there's a thought in their mind with him pitching every 5 days or every 6 days or whatever and still playing in the field ever so often, or maybe not in the field, but just as a DH and putting more pressure on himself, if that could lead to an injury.
The
I don't agree with that.
The only thought in their mind would be, oh, my God, we're never putting out another lineup like we just did last night against Jake Irvin, where we have six of our nine players batting under 200. Am I right about that, Bob? 200
yes.
Or under. 200 yeah. Or under. Cruz, 200. Valdez, 182. Sawinski, 156. Pham, 154. Frazier, 176. Down goes Frazier. Henry Davis, 154. My God, Brian Reynolds at 211 is a batting champion in this lineup.
You know what? Brian Hayes bats third. If you look around the National League, you'll see a lot of similar batting averages to a lot of teams.
No, you won't.
Yes, you will.
Give me a team.
Well, look at Washington's, for example.
Okay. 242 leadoff hitter, and that kid's really good, by the way. James Wood.
He has power, too.
Number two is at 333. Number three is at 267.
He doesn't play all that much. That's limited at bats. But I'm just talking about guys who are in there every single day.
I mean, there's some low hitters here, but nothing like what the Pirates are putting.
What is Dylan Cruz?
Cruz is at 120. He's on the Sawinski plan.
Yeah, and he was the number two overall pick.
Yeah, I'm not saying there's not a lot of hitters like that, but there's no lineup.
I'm not
like
making
that.
An excuse for that. What I'm saying is this seems to be more than you think around baseball. There are a lot of hitters who really struggle early on,
but not a lot of lineups like that.
No, the lineup's terrible, and I have said that since the beginning. And I'm.
If you would have told
me. Overall, this offseason really soured me. I thought they were going to make us, you know, after seeing Skeens last year, they had every opportunity to go out and really do something to fortify him with offensive talent.
This is a disaster, Bob. If you would have told me before the season, if you would have told me back in January, regardless of injuries, that the Pirates' 3, 4, and 5 hitters in game number 18 would be Key Brian Hayes, a man by the name of Valdez, and Jack Sawinski, I would have said, why even start? Why even play? Why even go into a season and play it? Followed by Tommy Pham. And then I still think the Adam Frazier, that somebody's going to walk into the room and say, no, we were only kidding. Remember, smile, you're on candid camera, Bob. We're really not picking up Adam Frazier to have him play a lot. Of course we're not. After he left Pittsburgh, he went to Baltimore and batted 240, and then he went to Kansas City and batted 202 and with a 282 on base percentage, and he's going to be one of our significant offseason pickups?
You know, I find it ironic that the Pirates, being such a frugal team when it comes to spending, have decided to waste money as much as they've had over the past 10 years on contracts that make not a difference.
Good
point. Tommy Pham's.
Good point.
All the guys they've signed for 1 year, $3-5 million, whatever it is, they do that over and over. You're essentially wasting money and not getting any bang for your buck. So why not, instead of six of them, give one or two guys market value at positions they play?
Right.
And as much as they want to, you know, control their costs, they're wasting money.
That's a very salient point by Bob. It's like I'm trying to think of an analogy. It's like just because you don't shop at, I don't know, where, Farfetch? Is that an expensive place, Limits?
Farfetch?
Yeah.
Never shopped there.
Or is that Farfetch?
Far-reaching, I don't know.
one of these rich places. That doesn't mean that you're still not really bad with money and that you're not wasting money. That's a great point, Bob. They're wasting the little money they do want to spend. They're spending it improperly. What a wonderful point.
Right. And that's why I always think they should make one or two big splashes every offseason, and you'll spend the same amount of money probably, and you'll get much more guaranteed success than you would the way they're doing it.
What's the most expensive store you can think of, Bob? Lawn or London? Is that a place?
You know, probably, what, Saks Fifth Avenue? Or
Saks Fifth
Avenue.
How about
Louis Vuitton?
Laura Piana? Loro Piana? What's that, Limits? Do you know? Lawn or London?
No idea.
Massaro? Moda Operandi?
Yeah, that's a big one.
Clive Christian?
Gucci?
Gucci? Tiffany and Company, Bob.
Yeah, you don't want to go there.
That's expensive.
Do you have a Tiffany wallet, I think?
No.
But here's the you're exactly right, though. Seriously, that's a great point. You don't have to be ultra-rich to be a bad spender.
Right. And they've done it way too
much. And it defeats the whole purpose of your existence to waste money.
It would be a good exercise to go back since 2016 and look at all the free agent signings they've made. Add up how much they've spent and what they've gotten for that money. And then you would decide, well, then we're doing this all wrong. Instead of 4.7 for Tommy Pham and getting very little in return, and 1.5, even 1.5 for Adam Frazier. You may think that's okay. Well, that's not that much. Well, it adds up. You get a bunch of those and put them all together. You're spending money and you're not getting bang for your buck.
And it's so predictable. I mean, Tommy Pham, gee, who would have thought an aging, no longer hitting outfielder would no longer hit for the Pirates. You know what I mean? It's like, who can't hit anymore? He hit 206 in St. Louis, 228 in Kansas City with precious little power. And now he's a year older. I don't know.